I want us to think, we're going to start out, I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Paul writes there, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." Now this is an interesting set of scriptures. We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves to those who commend themselves. Because he says if we compare ourselves to ourselves or commend ourselves to ourselves, we're not wise. We're not thinking clearly. If we compare ourselves to the rest of humanity, that's not wise. And there's a couple of good reasons why that's not wise. What I want us to talk about this morning is hope. And I want us to think about, first of all, what do our neighbors and our fellow workers, our co-workers, our maybe some of our family members, the people that live around us, maybe the people we go to school with, what do they hope for? They hope for a bigger house. They hope for a better car. They hope for a better job. Maybe they hope for better neighbors, if you're thinking about your neighbor. Hopefully that's not you. But they hope for things that are kind of interesting. They hope for laws to change. They hope for the government to take better care of them. They hope for the government to like them more. They hope for the courts to judge things in their favor. We're not supposed to hope for those things. Because if we hope for those things, we're just like the people around us. And there's only one thing that will happen if we put our hope in the same things that the people around us are hoping in. We're going to be disappointed. We're going to be disappointed. And I got to thinking about this as I was watching certain court cases or certain judgments laid down by judicial powers, and I was frustrated. But it's okay for me to be frustrated or even to follow those things, but I can't put my hope in the fact that those things might change someday. Because the only thing that will happen is that I'll be disappointed. So I want us now to turn and think about what should we hope in. Because we're human beings. We all hope for something. So what can we put our hope in? Well, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." That we through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, that's something we can hope in. That's something we can look back and we can see all the way through this Bible. These words that we talked about during class up here that God has breathed for us. We can put our confidence and our hope in them because we can see how He took people like me and turned them into something else. How he promised something to Abraham, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later made that promise come true. How he promised something to Adam and Eve, and thousands of years later that came true. I can have confidence and hope in that. That's something I can put my hope in. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The hope that is brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I can look in here and I can see about a Savior that was promised in the Old Testament that people in the New Testament should have been looking for, and some of them missed and some of them recognized. And I can have confidence that in that realization of the Son of God among men, to walk here, to breathe, to live like me, to have disappointment, to have joy, to be hungry, to be thirsty, I can take hope in that. We'll talk about further hope in the revelation of Jesus Christ a little bit later. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, and has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of our Savior. A hope in eternal life. A hope that this isn't all there is that I have to hope for. If this is all I have to hope for, we're told in another passage that we are above all men the most miserable. If there's nothing beyond, but God has promised that there is something later. That when I die, that's not the end. It's just the beginning. There's more to it than that. There's more to me being born and me growing up and me raising a family and me finding things to eat and me having a home to live in and me knowing people face to face on this earth. There is more to it. As wonderful as many of those things are, there's more to it than that. And I can have that hope in eternal life, which God, you notice how He describes God here? He doesn't say God who refuses to lie, or God who won't lie, or God who doesn't lie. He says God who cannot lie. I'm promised that by an individual, an entity, which simply does not have it within them to tell a falsehood. He's not exaggerating. He's not blowing things out of proportion. He is not lying. He is telling me the truth, 100% exactly the truth. So when we read in Revelation and we see the grandeur of what's there, yes, it may be figurative and not literal, but He's not lying to me. He's not telling me a falsehood. I can have hope and confidence that that is exactly what it will be like. I asked Denny to read Romans chapter 5. It was an interesting conversation we had because it was when he contacted me and asked me if there's something I could read or that he could read. I wasn't near my notes and I knew there was a lot of different verses and I wasn't sure exactly what large passage I wanted him to read. So when I finally got back to him, it was later yesterday evening. And when I talked to him on the phone, he said, well, that's interesting because I decided if you didn't get back to me, I was going to read Romans chapter 5. That's interesting to me. But the very first verse, starting with the very first verse of Romans 5, therefore, we having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. It's not just a hope that we hope with. Okay? And I don't know if that makes any sense. But if my neighbor, or if me, if I'm hoping for a better house or better neighbors or something better in this physical life, that's all it is hope. And I can hope and I can hope and I can hope and I can hope and maybe it comes true and maybe it doesn't. But that's all I have is hope. I read something not too long ago. We've heard the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Well, let's say I get over to that other side of the fence. I'm still going to have to mow that grass. See, it may look better right now, but when I get over there, it's got its own issues and problems and difficulties. So let's say I get that better job or that better house or those better neighbors or that better community or that better whatever. I'm still going to have issues. There's still going to be things I wish or hope were different. There's no end to the hoping in this life. There's no end. If my hope is in the physical, there is no end. But this tells me that my hope in the glory of God, I can rejoice in that. I can be happy in that hope because I know that one of these days I won't have hope anymore. I won't need it. It won't be necessary. And notice what he says starting with verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. So we glory in the hope, but we also glory in the tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint. Now wait a minute, Doug. You just talked about that hope disappoints us. Well, if we're hoping in the physical, that's exactly right. We have nothing ahead but disappointment because no matter what we hope for, it can never live up to the expectations. Our hope can never be fulfilled because we'll always hope for something else. Jill and I we've counted this up before, we're thinking about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is the 13th house we've lived since we've been married. You know what we always hope for in the house we're in? Well, maybe next time it'll be a little better. You know what I found anyway? Yeah, it might be a little better. It might be a little bigger. It might be a little different. It might have different things that we like about it. But guess what? There's stuff I don't like about the house we live in. And I don't care how many houses we live in. We could live in 500 houses. Between now and the day I die, there's always going to be stuff I don't like about it. Things I wish were different. Because hope in this world, hope in these earthly things, always disappoints because it never completely fulfills. But this hope in God does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have promises and assurances that God has proven to us, given us the Spirit as a down payment, as a guarantee. He's shown us, manifested His love in the physical presence of His Son here on earth and shown us through His sacrifice how much love He has. There's nothing more I can hope for than that. Nothing more. We'll come back to Romans chapter 5 in a minute, but 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats or be troubled. That's a lot to think about. But, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. A reason for the hope. See, if we're doing what is right, not only do we have hope, but we also have a reason for the hope that we just talked about that God manifests through His Son. Somebody may hope for a different house or a different job or whatever, and they may have reasons why they hope that. But they really don't have a basis for the hope in that. Because no matter what the next house is, it's always going to have its problems. It's always going to need things fixed. And if you get everything exactly perfect the way you want it, guess what? Something's going to go wrong. Something's going to break. Your tastes are going to change. Something's going to happen that's going to make that home just not quite satisfactory yet. There's no real reason for the hope that our neighbors and our friends have that are not in the Lord. But we not only have a hope, but we have a reason for the hope. We have a reason in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we can have a reason for the hope because God is hope. God is the God of all hope. There is no hope outside of the Father. There's none. There's no joy in that hope. There's no rejoicing in that hope. There's no confidence in that hope. There's no purpose in that hope. There's no reason in that hope. It is just blind hope. And no matter how much hope I have, it can't change what's going on around me. I can hope for laws to change. They're probably not. I can hope for judges to see things the way I want them to see it. They're probably not. Because I have no confidence or no reason or no purpose for that hope. It's just hope. And that kind of hope disappoints. But God, the hope in God, does not disappoint because God is hope. In fact, there in Romans 15, 13, it tells us not only is He the God of all hope, He can make us abound in hope. We can be overflowing with hope. And it has nothing to do with anything in this physical world. It's a hope in the resurrection. It's a hope in salvation through the blood of Christ. That's what I have to put my hope in. And any other hope, any other thing I might hope for or hope about is going to disappoint me. It's going to disappoint me. There's nothing there. So back to Romans chapter 5. After he talks about, in verse 5, the hope that does not disappoint because of the love of God in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, in verse 6 he says, "For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's what we can put our hope in right there. And it's not a hope that disappoints because it's already happened. I don't have to hope that Christ will go through with the sacrifice. I don't have to hope that the blood of Christ will be sufficient to wash away my sin. It's already happened. I don't have to hope that it will. It's a fact. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die," verse 7, "yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." I can have hope in a lot of people, and every single one of them is going to disappoint me. Every single one of them, doesn't matter who it is, even if it's your husband or wife, they're going to do something to disappoint you. It's just reality because we're human. But yet here we're told that God loved us despite of those disappointments. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can have hope in that. I can have hope in the result that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, "Much more than having been justified by His blood, we will be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." You ever stop and think about that verse? It tells us two different things that are going on. Christ's death meant something. Christ's death is how we are reconciled to God. We're brought back to Him. There's a standard that has to be met, and we're not living up to it. And so God, through the death of His Son, brings us up to that standard. He matches us back up again. That's the reconciliation. That's what brings us back to God. Our sin has separated us, and now the death of His Son brings us back together. But the interesting thing is, Paul doesn't stop there. That's not the end of what he says is happening. We're reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we are saved by His life. We're brought back to God through the death of His Son. But the fact that Christ rose from the dead, that gives us hope of life. Not breathing air and heart pumping and moving around here on the earth. That's a life of hopelessness. This is a hope of life eternal. Eternal life. Because Jesus raised from the dead, we too can see that we can be raised in newness. That we can live forever with Him. And that hope does not disappoint. Because that's not a hope that we hope will happen. That is a hope that we know has a reason behind it. It has purpose. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is the hope we can rejoice in. This hope that we have through Christ. Not a hope that we find here on the earth, but a hope that we have of a home in heaven. And the question we have to ask ourselves, and the reality that we have to look at in the mirror, is what are we putting our hope in? Are we putting our hope in society? Are we putting our hope in our neighbors? Are we putting our hope in our house? Are we putting our hope in our stuff? Or are we putting our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only? Are we putting our hope in an opportunity to live forever with Him? What are we putting our hope in? Because if our hope is in the physical, that hope will disappoint. If our hope is in the spiritual, that hope does not disappoint. And then we have the ability to give a reason for the hope that is in us. We know why we hope that. We're not hoping for greener grass. We have a hope in a secure situation. We know that Jesus came here and lived. We know that He died on the cross. We know that 3 days later He rose from the grave. And we know that He is coming back again. That is security of hope. And if we put our hope in that, we will not be disappointed. If you haven't placed your hope in the Father through the Son, then we invite you to do that this morning. Prove to Him that you obey Him and love Him through your repentance and confession and baptism. Show the Father your dedication through your life. And then you too can hope in security and eternal life. Won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing?